The earth turns into a dandelion clock whose fragile seeds are blown away by a gust of wind. BBC Natural World. A vast expanse of blue ocean, flecked with wisps of white.
A giant roams the world's oceans.
A creature glides silently beneath the water's surface, its body covered with large white spots.
At more than 12 meters long, the whale shark is the largest fish in the sea. Yet for all its size, it remains a total mystery to science.
It flicks its tail fin languidly as it swims gracefully through the blue depths.
For most of the year, they travel the oceans undetected. Then off tropical coasts and coral reefs, the whale sharks suddenly appear. Where they come from, nobody knows. But just as mysteriously as they arrive, the whale sharks soon disappear. Shark expert Dr. Mark Meakin is on a quest to find out where they go. He believes they're traveling huge distances and could even be crossing oceans. Over the next year, Mark will attempt to track the whale shark's movements. If all goes to plan, he will unravel one of the ocean's great mysteries.
Whale shark. Waves lap a shoreline beneath a tangerine sky.
Ningaloo Reef, Western Australia, where the Indian Ocean meets the harsh desert coast. Just 100 meters offshore lies one of the world's richest coral reefs, where an incredible event is about to take place.
A 4x4 pulls up in view of a small boat moored just offshore.
It's early April, and 7 days after the full moon, a neap tide calms the great ocean swell.
A small fire is lit, and a full moon rises in the night sky.
Underwater, the reef is stirring. Finally, the conditions are right for the coral to spawn.
It releases small apricot pearls, which rise slowly.
Over the next 24 hours, several tons of sperm and eggs will be released into the water.
A cloudy, smoky vapor erupts from a slit in coral that resembles the underside of a brightly colored mushroom.
Overnight, the reef explodes into life.
A crackling wood fire sends up a shower of sparks.
And soon, one of the most mysterious animals in the ocean appears.
Its long, sleek body exudes a latent power as it cruises effortlessly through the murky depths.
For a few brief months each year, hundreds of whale sharks come to cruise the Ningaloo coastline.
Its mouth opens like a purse in its wide, flat head.
They're the ocean's great wanderers. But outside these waters, almost nothing is known about their lives.
The first time I swam with a whale shark was about 10 years ago now, out the front of Ningaloo Reef. Beautiful, calm day, jumped in the water, and out of the deep blue came this great big shape. You've got an animal that, you know, hasn't changed basically since the age of the dinosaurs. You're swimming with a dinosaur. And at the same time, it's just an absolutely beautiful animal.
Now Mark Meakin is finding worrying evidence that whale sharks are on the decline.
Over the last 10 years, the average size of sharks we've been seeing has been getting smaller. And it's alarming because it's a classic symptom of overfishing. If my kids want to swim with whale sharks, there are really two questions that we actually have to answer. The first of those is, where do they go after Ningaloo? The second one is, who are they interacting with? Those are the things we've got to find out.
The next morning, Mark heads out on the first day of his tagging operation.
Mark and three colleagues climb into a small boat.
They have just 1 week to deploy six satellite tags.
Now they're in a large motor cruiser and heading out to sea.
They may be searching for the biggest fish in the ocean, but it's still a challenge to find them.
A light plane flies overhead.
Northwest Air, Northwest Air, this is the Osser Blue. Do you see, Kim?
Go ahead, Osser Blue, this is Northwest Air.
From the air, you can see the sharks much, much better than you can see them on the water. These things are brilliantly camouflaged, but in the air, they're silhouetted. The pilot can look down, spot the shark, and he can lead us straight to it. Now, the key thing is the whale sharks have to show up and want to play.
Yeah, Tim, we'll hang around Black Rock here. So if you get a shark, we'll have a good run to it, huh?
Roger that.
Stretching 260 kilometres across the west coast of Australia, Ningaloo is one of the largest fringing reef systems in the world. And at this time of year, it explodes into life. Every creature in the ocean is moving in to feed and breed, from the smallest to the largest. They've all come to exploit the reef's nutrient-rich waters.
The reef is teeming with vast numbers of brightly coloured fish.
Orissa Blue, Orissa Blue, this is Northwest Air, do you copy?
Yeah, receiving. Tim, what do you got for us, huh?
I've got a wild shark about half a mile off here.
Guys, got a shark. Okay, and he's going north at about what speed, mate?
The whale shark has been spotted at the surface, but is an unpredictable animal and could disappear at any moment.
How big is that? It's a 7 metre shark, but he's diving, so we need to get down to have a toe tag. Toe tag, let's get it on.
He's coming up in the wave now. You got it?
We're good to go.
Gun loaded?
Gun's loaded, safety's
on. Where is the toe? Where is it?
Okay, go. Mark and two colleagues jump into the water. One's wearing a t-shirt and shorts, while the others are kitted out in wetsuits. Small fish swirl around a dark silhouette, resembling the nose of a submarine. Mark's colleagues are holding cameras out in front of them as they approach the basking shark.
Every shark is photographed for their database.
Mark prepares to attach a U-shaped tag.
The tag is designed to drop off after a year. For the shark, it will be painless. But for Mark, it's a dangerous moment. An animal this large must be approached with extreme caution. A direct hit from its tail could cause serious injury.
As he hooks the tag over its dorsal fin, the shark suddenly thrashes its tail and powers away, climbing back on board the boat.
I'll pass you the gun there, Kerry. Yep. Careful, it's still loaded. It didn't go off.
Got it.
We got in the water, got up to it. Got the tag on the animal and the gun didn't go off. Occasionally these things happen, we're just going to have to work out what happened. Why didn't go off?
Beneath them, the conditions are perfect for whale sharks. As the current runs over the reef, it brings with it a cloud of minute sea life that turns the water cloudy. And soon the ocean's filter feeders are drawn to the feast.
From below, the shark's huge bulk glides through bright rays of light.
Whale sharks are the largest of all sharks. Fully grown, they're twice the size of a great white. and with a mouth up to 2 meters wide, they could easily engulf a human.
The shark's mouth opens and closes rhythmically, as if taking huge gulps of breath.
But these sharks are gentle giants, and unlike their fearsome relatives, they filter their food. Gulping thousands of liters of water every hour, they use their huge gills to sieve out small particles of life.
As the shark approaches the boat's hull, Mark's team gets hurriedly kitted out.
Okay, we've got a whale shark just off the bow.
With the gun fixed, Mark is back in action.
Okay, yeah, okay, go, let's go, go.
He leaps feet first into the water, clutching the gun determinedly with both hands. The shark's spotted body moves slowly through the murky turquoise water. Mark approaches cautiously from behind.
As Mark approaches, the whale shark turns its back in a defensive posture. Here, its skin grows up to 14 centimeters thick, thicker and tougher than any animal in the world.
Now, immediately above the shark, Mark dives down towards it. The shark seems unaware of his presence, and Mark makes straight for its dorsal fin. With the tag successfully attached, Mark squirms out of the way of its swishing tail as it swims off.
Breath holding to 15 meters, Mark's first successful tag shows just how dangerous it can be.
This animal's swimming towards you at about 2 knots. It's like a bus coming past and you're trying to whack something on the side of the bus as it goes past. It's not a simple matter. The animal's big, you can't stop it, you get one shot at it.
A replay shows Mark attaching the tag, then spreading his legs wide to avoid being caught by the shark's tail.
As the afternoon progresses, more sharks attacked, and the project gets off to a good start.
One shark seems to be waiting for Mark to attach the tag before swimming away placidly. A dog greets the team on the beach as they return to shore, then Mark's on a mobile phone.
Do you know what I was doing today? I take 3 whale sharks today. 3! 3 great big ones.
Yep.
Oh, it's my son, he's 5 years old, and he's got he loves whale sharks. And I was hoping maybe we could get some names for some of the whale sharks we take today. You know, he came up with some names. Hamish and Jack, 2 of his school friends.
Mark opens large double doors.
As the moon rises over Ningaloo, it's time to input the day's data.
A laptop.
Over the last 10 years, the team has built up an impressive database of whale shark sightings. Each animal has a unique pattern of spots that allows Mark to identify and cross-reference every individual.
Okay, let's see if we've got any matches from today.
The first shark to be analysed is a 6-metre male he calls Hamish. The next 2 are smaller adolescent males named Jack and Sammy. Have they ever been seen in these waters before? The photo ID results show they're new to the database. But just like the other sharks at Ningaloo, they share one thing in common.
The population here at Ningaloo, they're all young males. They're all juveniles, really, although they're quite large, 5 to 6 metres in size. They're still babies, really. They haven't become mature.
By the end of the week, a total of 6 whale sharks are tagged. Now, every time Hamish and the others surface, a satellite deep in space will record their every move. But unlike a true whale, these sharks don't need to come up for air and could spend several days deep underwater.
From below, the motor cruiser's hull plows across the water's surface.
tags on, Mark can now focus on another whale shark mystery. Beyond a few brief encounters at the surface, almost nothing is known about their day-to-day lives.
We're going to try and attach this camera to the sharks, but it's much more than a camera. It's a mini laboratory. It's a dive computer. This has never been done successfully before, but if we get it right, it's going to tell us about what the animals are feeding on, how they get down there, and what they're actually doing on the bottom. We can't go down there. This can. And when it pops back up to the surface, we get that information back.
Mark leaps from the boat into the water, a basking whale shark just below and ahead of him.
The camera is attached by a time-sensitive fuse and will release at 4 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Mark successfully attaches the camera to the shark's back.
Riding on top of its back, the camera will capture a shark's eye view of Ningaloo Reef, offering for the first time a unique window into the whale shark's world. What secrets will it uncover?
A GPS receiver.
22.
Degrees, 40.211 minutes.
40.211.
The next morning, the team head out early.
113 degrees. We've got the lat longs of the camera. It's come off the animal. It's floating in the ocean. We've got to go and get it.
The coordinates will get them close, but from here on, they must rely on a VHF receiver to pick up the camera signal. With $40,000 of equipment floating in the open ocean, there's a lot riding on its safe return.
Straight ahead.
Oh yeah, there it is, there it is.
Yeah, got it.
Keep coming, Terry.
1 o'clock, Terry. We have four boat legs.
Yeah, same position.
Okay.
One boat leg.
Right.
Coming down the side.
As the yellow capsule floats alongside the boat, it's grabbed by a pole hook.
Oh, he's got it.
Oh, yep.
Woohoo! Hey, you caught a fish. A very expensive fish. Look at that. Great. Fantastic. We got it back. We got it back. Well, hopefully it's full of data. That's the next question. Did the camera work? Did the instruments work? That's the thing. If they did, it's fantastic. It's a huge amount of data in there. Something that no one's ever managed to get from whale sharks before.
A satellite tracking map on a computer screen.
While the shark cam data is being analysed, information starts to come in from the other tagged sharks. Will they finally discover where Ningaloo's whale sharks are going? In the weeks that follow, Mark tracks their progress up and down the coastline as they continue to feed on Ningaloo's rich currents. By mid-May, one of the sharks, the 6-meter male called Hamish, breaks away from the group. Moving offshore, he leaves the security of the Ningaloo Marine Park, traveling 800 kilometers into the Indian Ocean. It's an exciting development. It confirms Mark's suspicions that Ningaloo's whale sharks are not only leaving Australia, but traveling huge distances.
Hamish swims along, the small bomb-shaped transmitter that's attached to its tag floating above it.
But it's here, entering the busy shipping lanes of Asia, that Hamish is most vulnerable.
A huge tanker heads across the ocean.
Every year, hundreds of whale sharks are killed by boat strikes, fishing, and even pollution. It's having a devastating effect on the Ningaloo population.
Ten years ago, whale sharks averaged 7 meters in size. Today, the whale sharks we see out there are 3 to 4 meters in size. That's a drop of 2 meters. It's big. There's also been a worrying decline in abundance. Now, those are classic signs of a population in trouble. It makes it all the more critical that we find out where these sharks are going to.
You have to know where they're going and who you have to talk to if you're going to do anything about the problem.
Protecting an animal that moves through international waters isn't easy. But thankfully, Hamish's journey doesn't end there. Whilst the other sharks stay around Ningaloo, Hamish continues west at a rate of 30 kilometres a day.
Hamish's progress is plotted on a computer map.
But before more satellite data comes in, the shark cam starts yielding some interesting results.
We put the shark cam on the sharks to really, for the first time, get a view of what the shark is actually doing down on the bottom at Ningaloo. And it's an amazing bit of footage we've recovered. On the surface, we can see the shark actually gulping and feeding at things, but there are plenty of strange behaviours in here as well that I can't explain. There's some interesting behaviour where the shark is literally standing on its tail and sinking down from the surface. What it's doing then, I have no idea.
And more surprises are being revealed by the 3D dive profile.
These animals are a lot like marine mammals. They go down and come back up again. Why? Well, one, it's a search for food. The water's in layers. Smells travel really well through those layers. And if you're a shark, you go down, you go up, you pass through all those layers, you get a good sample of what's around to feed on. The other thing is that even though these are big animals, the water down at the bottom is colder than it is at the top. So it may well be that when a shark spends a lot of time at the bottom, it actually has to come back up to the surface to reheat. But we need a lot more footage like this to really understand the reasons behind that diving behaviour.
Flying over a stretch of water.
It's 2 months since the tags were deployed, and Hamish has travelled 1,000 kilometres. Where he is heading, nobody knows. Mark has a hunch that Hamish could be following seasonal food pulses around the Indian Ocean.
We know that these animals turn up at Ningaloo for these mass feeding events. There are other places around the world's oceans where this happens as well.
In the Indian Ocean, they also turn up periodically to feed off Christmas Island, India, Kenya, Mozambique, and the Seychelles.
The real question is, are they the same animals that are actually participating in all these events? Are they travelling between them?
The DNA evidence shows they are all closely related and could be part of one large interbreeding population.
Mark draws a large map of the Indian Ocean.
So could Hamish be travelling from Australia to Africa?
He draws a large red line across the ocean with a question mark beside it.
As he continues west, now almost 1,000 kilometres from Ningaloo, some disappointing news comes in.
The tags are off the animals, they're floating. How they came off, I don't know. It's just one of those things. We have to expect a high failure rate for tags, so we just have to get more out there, get more on the sharks. I think it's the only way forward.
A passenger jet touches down on a runway.
Following his hunch, Mark flies 5,000 kilometres across the Indian Ocean to the tropical islands of the Seychelles for a working holiday with his family and the next leg of the study. To meet them is longtime collaborator David Rowat, who runs the largest whale shark monitoring program in the world.
How are you two?
So you've been getting good sharks, David?
Yep, sharks arrived about a day or two ago. We're getting reasonable numbers at the moment, about 3 or 4 each day.
It's taken 18 hours to get here from Australia. And now Mark and David have just 1 week to find out if the whale sharks are making a similar journey.
Well, basically, the boats are going out every day, so yeah, they're ready to roll.
Washing flaps gently on a shaded line slung between two palm trees, then the translucent blue waters of a rocky coastline.
Perched on the edge of the African continent, the granite islands of the Seychelles rise out of the Indian Ocean.
A microlight.
It's the start of the whale shark season, and for the next 3 months, seasonal upwellings of nutrient-rich waters will attract whale sharks to these shores.
Real time, Michael Ideka Papa Echo. I have sighted a shark. It's just south underneath.
It's got a visual, it's got a visual.
During this period, every encounter is photographed, measured, and recorded.
People with snorkels enter the sea from a boat.
Go when you're ready, that's it, go, go. Follow.
And what's so special about this research is that almost all the data is collected by tourists.
Thank you for coming along, because it's only with your assistance and support that we can actually run this program.
It's all part of David Rowat's plan to make the whale sharks more valuable to the island. And by offering hundreds of tourists the chance to swim with them, it means that David can run his research on an epic scale.
Images of the grey mottled whale sharks.
It's this data that could tell Mark if Ningaloo's sharks are visiting the Seychelles.
That long line there, it's not the same shark.
But David and I have very large photo identification libraries of whale sharks. Me in Ningaloo and David in the Seychelles. And what we've been doing is using a computer program to try and match those photographs.
So we've done the fingerprint, we've got our 3 points in.
Yep.
If Hamish and the other Ningaloo sharks really are crossing the Indian Ocean, they would expect to find some matches.
A computer cursor moving across a screen.
But with over 1,000 images to compare, it will be another month before they'll know the result.
Scrolling down hundreds of data files.
In the meantime, Mark and David have more tags to deploy.
From the air, a lush green island shrouded by white puffy clouds and azure sea.
Real time, Michael Ideka Papa Echo. I have sighted a shark. It's just south underneath. And we're going to go down and have a look. And real time, if you come right 45 degrees and 500 meters from you, dead ahead. 45 degrees, 500 meters.
There's a sudden wave of activity on the boat, and as soon as it draws near to the large grey shark, engines are cut and scientists jump in to tag the enormous creature.
Go, Dave, go!
Every year, more than 200 sharks visit these islands, but when the food runs out, almost all of them disappear. By tagging more whale sharks, Mark and David hope to find out where they're going.
The shark cruises into the murky deep.
Could they be heading back to Australia and the rich waters of Ningaloo?
It's propelled by slow sweeps of its mighty tail. Now a man and boy wading through sandy shallows towards the boat.
After a successful start, it's time for Mark to head out for some fun with his six-year-old son, Sammy.
We've promised him he can go swimming with a whale shark.
I think I'm more delighted than he is, actually. I mean, it's been such a fondly held dream of mine for so long that, and finally did it, you know.
Okay, it's just here, Mark. It's just really close to the boat.
Can you see it? Yeah, we'll get there. Okay, here we go. You ready, mate?
Oh. Mark and Sammy jump into the sea in snorkel gear and make their way over to the shark. Sammy's barely the size of its tail.
It really was a contrast between the two of them. I mean, here's Sammy, he's just over a metre tall, and that shark, 5 or 6 times his size. And he's not afraid of it at all, but perfectly happy to paddle along with the shark.
Father and son kick their fins to keep alongside the creature.
Missing most of its dorsal fin, this shark is typical of the population in the Seychelles, where some 30% carry the scars of boat strikes. It's a sobering reminder of just how vulnerable these sharks are.
It was important for me to have Sammy swim with a whale shark, you know, and share that, the joy I get out of them with my kids. And important to do it now too, because who knows, mate, you know, when he's my age, they may not be around.
They're back on board the boat, and it's speeding through the water.
As the week progresses, the team collect data on 10 more whale sharks. And as Mark's trip draws to a close, they attach a second satellite tag to a 4-meter male named Joe.
Having been tagged, the shark quickly disappears into the deep, now drifting above white clouds.
Soon data comes in showing him moving north along the main island. But as Mark returns home, the airwaves go silent. And as weeks turn into months, it becomes all too apparent that the satellite has lost contact with the sharks.
You know, pretty disappointed that yet another tag design has failed. But look, there are some real positives that came out of the Seychelles. One of those was the photo ID study. We found no matches between the Seychelles and Ningaloo. That's really significant because it tells us that the animals probably aren't travelling between Ningaloo and the Seychelles or vice versa. And what I think it means is that we have to look closer to home for some of the answers about where these animals are going.
If Ningaloo's whale sharks aren't crossing the Indian Ocean, then where are they heading?
A map showing a whale shark zigzagging course out to sea.
Mark re-examines the data from Hamish, the adolescent male that lost his tag mid-ocean. 1,600 kilometres from Ningaloo lies the tiny Australian outpost of Christmas Island, where there are reports of whale sharks gathering.
From a whale shark drifting gracefully through crystal waters to the view from a plane over a cloudscape.
It's a tiny little green speck out in the middle of the Indian Ocean, but to whale sharks they see it from a different perspective. It's a giant mountain arising out of the seafloor, and the whale sharks turn up there predictably every year.
Arriving on the tail end of a storm, Mark has just 2 weeks to find some answers. But his first lead doesn't point to the ocean. Instead, it takes him inland to the lush tropical forests that cover Christmas Island. Here, beneath a pristine canopy, one of the greatest events of the natural world is underway.
Hey, look, crabs on the road.
Yeah, there's a pile of them on the side of the road.
Wow, okay.
Look out.
Try to
run them over. You know, so stop running those ones over. Yeah, I'll get out of the way.
Mark gets out of the vehicle to clear the track of the red crab populace.
Right, look at that. It's a red land crab. It's land crab breeding season, and these guys are all moving down out of the forest down to the beach. Each one of these crabs is spawning about 100,000 eggs. And you've got to figure that with about 15 million females on the island, we're talking about a billion eggs being released into the ocean. Now, we don't know if the whale sharks are actually eating them or not, but you'd have to figure that it would make sense.
The crabs only spawn on one night of the year. Is it just coincidence that the whale sharks arrive at the same time?
An army of red crabs moving steadily over the shingle terrain.
It's now a month since they left their forest homes, and their arduous migration is almost over. Now heavily laden with eggs, the females navigate the final stretch to the ocean.
Their 8 pointy legs move with delicate precision.
In a few hours' time, 100 million new lives will be launched into the water.
A crab clinging upside down to a rock at the coast and silhouetted against a golden sunset. At night, Mark discovers the beach teeming with the creatures.
Hey, look at that! It's amazing! Crabs on top of crabs on top of crabs.
At 4 a.m., on the turn of a high tide, the action begins. Like their marine ancestors, the land crabs are still tied to the ocean, and their eggs can only hatch when they reach the water.
Mick, it's just, that is solid, crazy. Look at it.
There they go, they're flapping. Look at that.
There's the jig as they release the eggs.
As the eggs hit the water, they hatch immediately, turn into these tiny little crab larvae. They'll swim around for about 27 days out in the water, and then come back in a stage called a megalope that looks just like a baby juvenile crab. Climb up the cliffs and head back into the forest. Look at the water, it's brown with eggs. You've got to figure that this is a great reason for the whale sharks to come to Christmas Island.
From water clouded with eggs to a crab's release celebration.
No one has ever witnessed sharks feeding on red crab larvae. It's just a theory, but if Mark can prove it, it will be a first.
From the last few crabs venturing down to the water at sunrise, to Mark and his team preparing.
But the next day gets off to a slow start.
Yeah, big one, little.
We're very keen to get out and see if we can find some whale sharks. One problem is, though, that our plane, our aerial support, is out there on a supply ship. The weather's been so bad, they've been unable to bring the boat in against the wharf here. So without that plane, it means we're just going to have to get out there and maybe do an exploratory dive and just see what we can see.
With no indication of when the boat might come in, Mark's best chance of finding a whale shark is to start surveying the island's 80 kilometres of coastline.
Two divers plunge into the blue in scuba gear. They make their way around a sheer coral shelf.
Surrounded by a narrow ledge of tropical reef, the seabed quickly drops away to the abyssal depths of the Java Trench. 4 kilometers below the surface, it's one of the deepest points in the Indian Ocean. And it's along these walls that the whale sharks are reported to cruise.
As you went over the edge of the drop-off, you leaned forward and it was like you were flying a plane into the depths.
Swimming over the shelf to be confronted by the abyss beyond.
An absolutely fantastic feeling. It truly is the edge of the unknown. You feel like you're clinging to the last vestiges of the land, and somewhere out there are these giant creatures cruising up and down.
But until they can get up in the air, the sharks remain as elusive as ever.
Mark and his colleague swimming down alongside the sheer reef face. Now men in hard hats hooking chains to a metal cargo crate.
Then on the fifth day, the container ship finally comes in. And with just 1 week to go, Mark's study can at last take off.
The micro light is up and away.
The team's first task is to locate the whale sharks and establish where they're congregating.
What a great morning for flying!
Yeah, awesome, isn't it?
Beautiful.
Get a great view from up here, don't you?
It's the first time a whale shark survey has ever been conducted on Christmas Island. Mark has no idea what he's going to find.
Okay. That's deep. Let's just swing around. That's a shark. Okay, look at that. That's a big tadpole.
Check out that.
Look at that. They look just like big tadpoles, man. A great big fat head. And a skinny tail out the top, out the back. It's funny, isn't it? Oh, we lost it. That's clear.
Sunlight glinting off the sea obscures their view.
Well, we saw two whale sharks. They're both on the north coast. What it means for the population, we're not really sure. We need to do a few more flights and spend a little bit more time out there but to find out if there are more of them. Maybe it's the same two whale sharks out there every day. Who knows?
It's fewer sharks than they were expecting, but it's enough to get started.
They deploy the boat as well.
Mark has just 6 days left to find out if Hamish and the other whale sharks from Ningaloo are visiting Christmas Island. And to do this, they plan to find, photograph, and tag as many of them as possible. The spotter plane is now finding many more sharks.
It's right here, it's by the boat.
Mark jumps in with the tag.
But frustratingly, as soon as they get close, the animals are diving. And as the days go by, the difficulties of studying such an elusive fish are all too evident.
That's getting ridiculous, don't you think?
Yes.
Sorry. Same old story, I'm afraid. Good on the shark. Boat up close to it, just off the bow, within distance to swim to it. The thing dives straight away, but I don't even see it.
See it. It on the surface, where it jumped right in. There. The water's gone.
With one day left, it looks like they'll go home empty-handed.
I'm over it.
Makes it hard to tag them, though, when you can't see them.
I'm over it.
Mark dives back in.
Bye, Mark.
10 o'clock. Tim Oley, back her up, back her up. There it is, right there.
Then, on the very last day, just hours before their flight, a final opportunity presents itself.
We have a visual, stay on it, small shark.
Mark, it's coming around on the back. Okay, let's get in on it.
In, go, Kerry, go, go. Go, get it, go. We're looking at it. We're not waiting here. We're going.
Two of Mark's team cautiously approach the youngster.
It's a friendly shark. Good God, I didn't know they existed.
One of the divers swims up to the inquisitive shark and jabs a tracking device into its dorsal.
Look at that look, Rebecca, right in there. Have we got a biopsy to boot?
Mark, it's coming around.
Christmas Island was nothing if not dramatic. We spent 2 weeks there fruitlessly searching for whale sharks, and in the final day, we finally got some. In fact, we got a lot. We got the 7 tags out. It was absolutely fantastic end to the trip. And remarkably, we even got a whale shark that managed to do a poo for us. It's such a rare event. I've only ever seen it twice with the hundreds of whale sharks I've swum with. And it's so significant because the DNA in that sample is worth gold.
Fecal matter drifting down in a shark's wake in the lab.
And here it is, whale shark poo. Tip it out and there it is. That little reddy brown soupy mixture there, if we can extract the DNA out of this, it's going to tell us something about why the whale sharks are coming to Christmas Island.
The samples are tested.
And when the result comes in, it proves Mark's theory. The sample is packed with red crab DNA.
The results of the poo analysis are pretty exciting. They tell us that the migration of these sharks from Ningaloo to the north is not some random thing. These sharks are actually directing their movements. They're going to Christmas Island for a reason. There's a whole pile of food up there, and these sharks are feeding on it. So the next question is, where do they go after Christmas Island? Do they come back to Ningaloo, or do they go somewhere else?
A computer cursor moving over Enter, and then clicking on a Christmas Island tab.
In the weeks that follow, all 7 sharks remain around the island. But after a month, only one tag is still transmitting. It's attached to a 5-meter male named Finn, and to Mark's delight, he's now on the move.
The white spotted male cruising out into open water.
First, he travels north before heading southeast on a direct course back to Australia. It's an exciting development. With Ningaloo's coral spawn imminent, could Finn be returning on an annual migration? But then, to everyone's surprise, he changes direction. In 2 months, he travels 2,000 kilometers before disappearing off the radar. It looks like there's a problem with Finn's tag. But 2 weeks later, he reappears in the Banda Sea. The dive data reveals he traveled 800 kilometers, rarely coming close to the surface. Mark wonders whether he was feeding on an unknown food source deep underwater. Or perhaps he was avoiding the strong surface currents that run between these islands. Then Finn turns around and heads back to West Timor.
The shark's progress is plotted on a map.
It's here, 4 months and 4,000 kilometers later, that the tag finally falls off.
A sandy coast from just offshore.
It washed up on a beach, and it was found by a guy searching for turtle eggs. The tag was still transmitting, so I could actually see the guy, and I could see his house where he was storing it. So I got one of our PhD students to go and recover the tag, which he did. And here it is. And when we got the tag back, I think we got some pretty interesting clues as to why it came off in the first place. See these shark bite marks, and it's been a pretty big shark too, judging by the distance between those scrape marks. I think a couple of hundred kilos of bitey shark hanging off the end of this has been the reason that the tag came off the whale shark.
And it could be the reason behind many of the tags failing.
A whale shark swimming among shimmering shards of sunlight near the surface.
As Finn's journey ends, Mark is left to draw his conclusions from the remarkable data he's provided. But 12 months and 20 satellite tags later, is Mark any closer to unraveling the mystery of where Ningaloo's whale sharks are going?
Mark putting the tracking data onto a glass map board.
What I thought we'd see at the start of this study is we'd tag sharks in Ningaloo and we'd see at least some of them go across the Indian Ocean as far as the Seychelles. And that's certainly what the genetic data was suggesting. But that's not what happened. Moreover, when we looked at the photo identification data, there were no matches between sharks at Ningaloo or sharks in the Seychelles. Hundreds of sharks, thousands of photos, not one shark in common. So I think this is basically wrong. I suspect what's actually going on is the sharks that are over here in this side of the Indian Ocean stay within the same area. And that's certainly what we saw for the sharks we tagged at Christmas Island. What does that mean for the sharks at Ningaloo? Well, I actually think it's good news. Look, if the sharks are really truly moving all this way over to Africa, conservation of them is a much more complex question. But if they're actually just staying over here, we only have to deal with our nearest neighbours.
Since this study, Mark has started an ecotourism project in Western Timor. And now the prospects for Ningaloo's giant fish look a little brighter.
A whale shark in silhouette against shafts of sunlight lancing into the deep.
But whilst the whale sharks have given up some of their secrets, there are still many more questions to be answered before their future can be truly secured.